18 and verse 6. In the first word here, apodote. That's what it says in Greek anyway, apodote. Apodote. Comes from apo and didomi. All of you aren't Greek scholars, but we'll put that up here. All right, that's it. Right there, see that? That's Greek. All right. This is Latin. Now, what in the world's the English? Huh? Paybacks. Thank you, brother. You've been paying real good attention. Paybacks. Time for paybacks. Time for paybacks. Rough. Paybacks. I remember one time. I've done some pretty crazy things in my life. I guess because I'm a long-distance relative of old Sam Paul and that bunch back there. I've done some pretty strange things. Paybacks. I've always been pretty famous for shooting because I could shoot really well, throwing pennies in the air and things like that, you know, and shooting them. And people wouldn't believe it until they saw it. But my reputation preceded me in the outlying areas wherever I was. And one time, my friend got real sick instantly. He had liver failure. He got hepatitis in Vietnam. And his name was Travis up in Tonopah, Nevada. And called me on the phone, and he was down in the Bishop Hospital dying. They didn't know if he was going to live or not. And I'm a ham operator, and the head of the hospital was a ham operator. And we talked to him on the radio, and I talked to Dave, and he said, Travis is in critical, terrible, grave condition. If he doesn't try to sleep, he's going to die. And he's all upset because he got down in Southern California and was doing some radio trading down there. And one so-called friend of his came down there and drove his car back with him. And when they got the Bishop, they had to put him in an intensive care hospital because he was dying. He had liver failure. He had uremic poisoning. Anyway, so I went over there, and Dave calls me over there. He said, you're his best friend. I said, yeah. He said, well, go in there and see if you can talk to him. He said, he won't go to sleep. He won't rest. He won't cooperate at all. He's worried about his radio equipment. He said, the guy that brought him here took off with it. You know, like this. So I went in there, and I talked to Travis. I said, Travis, you got to get better. You got to rest. He says, so-and-so has got my equipment. He's taken off with all of it. He said, I had a brand new amplifier and radios and everything in there, and it's all gone. Somebody took it out of the car. He's taken off with it. He said, I'll never see it again. He said, I don't know what to do about it. He said, would you go over there and try to get it back from him? And I said, well, is that all right for me to go over there and get it back? He's probably not. He's crazy. He's a hitman for the CIA. Anyway, I Lex Talionis, boy. Apodidomy. I went to his house, and I stuck my Colt Python in my belt, just like that, just right there. I loaded it, put it in my belt where he could see it real good. I walked up to his door, knocked on his door, and I said hi to him. He said, well, what are you doing? I said, I came to get Travis's radio stuff. Well, I'm holding that. I said, no, you're not. I said, Travis is in the hospital. I said, he won't even rest or go to sleep or nothing. He's worried that he's not going to get his radio cut back. And I said, I came to get it. He said, what are you going to do with that gun? I said, I don't know yet. Like this. And he knew about me. Anyway, I said, I want to get his stuff. So he took me in there in one room, and there was an old radio, a bunch of radio stuff laying there. He said, that's his. So I carried it out and put it in the car. All the time he's carrying a pistol following me around. I go back, I got that, and I said, that's not all of it. I said, where he's mobile and his mobile amplifier and everything else. Oh yeah, I forgot that. So we go over here in another room, and I pick that up, and I take that out in the car, because it's all heavy stuff. And I'm still got this Colt Python on stuck in my belt, and he's got a gun in his hand, carrying around, following me from room to room. Didn't tell you about that, did I? Anyway, we went over there and we got to the mobile and everything else. I said, now, where's his new amplifier he got? Oh, yeah, like that. And I said, well, where is it? And he said, well, he said, it's another part of the house. I said, well, let's go get it. Like that. So I went in there and he opened the closet and there it was, still in the box. I took it and put it out there and I said, what else you got? Well, he said, I got his gun, but he said, I'm going to keep that. He owes me some money. He said, I'm going to keep it until he pays me back. I said, well, I guess that's okay. I said, you ought to have something, but I said, you're not keeping all this stuff. He won't rest. So I drove straight over there to the hospital. And I walked in there, intensive care, and I walked up to Travis and said, I'm taking all of your radio equipment home. He said, what did Mark do? And I said, he asked me what I was going to do with that gun. He said, he's afraid of you. He said, I never saw him afraid of anybody else's life. I said, I just walked right in there. He asked me what I was going to do with it, and I said, I don't know yet. Well, he got scared. Usually everybody else was scared to death of him, wherever he went. This time he was afraid, but I got his equipment for him. He went instantly to sleep and slept for 3 days. He woke up and he went into a coma, and he finally came back. And there's a whole lot more to that story. I went and got him a woman to marry him in intensive care. His family was trying to take all of his stuff away from him. He signed everything over to me to be his power of attorney, and I went and got him a wife and married him in intensive care without him a preacher. So they wouldn't take his stuff. Paybacks. Everybody was after that poor guy, and he was dying in the hospital. They weren't nobody worried about him at all, about what they could take from him. Well, here we have a very economically weird situation right here. We have people that have been taking advantage of people all over, evidently, the Western world. Paybacks. Paybacks. Brother John, what do you got there in number 6, 18 and verse 6?
Pay her back even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds. And the cup which she has mixed twice as much for her.
All right. Payback. Lex talion, sapo dote. Give back to her just as indeed she gave. Pay her back with what she gave. Pay her back with whatever she put out. You're going to give, you give it back to her. But it says, give her interest. Double it. Double it. Right there. Diplosate. Double it. Double. According to the works of her, in the cup in which she mixed, ye mix for her to drink. Now, back in the Bible days, they didn't drink much water. Did you know that? You go back over in Europe today, you go back in the Middle East, I'm going to tell you something. You better carry a bottle of water. Or you better carry something. Back in Jesus' time, all during that period of time back there, they drank wine almost constantly. Wine has got some amount of alcohol in it. And they would take those wine bottles, which was a wine skin, and they would take and mix that wine in with water to purify the water. And so you drank watered down wine all the time, basically, is what you drank. You didn't drink any, you didn't drink water, you drank down watered down wine. And it says here, don't water it down. Give it to her full strength, double strength. Give her a double shot of what she's been giving everybody else. What had this false religious system, this false bride, been doing all the way through the Dark Ages and down? We saw the Catholic Church and even the Protestant churches. The Catholic Church devastated Christendom or Christianity. And she was the princess of the so-called Christian world, Christendom. She was the queen of heaven, all right, over all of the other nations. We had two people back that left the Catholic Church. They were priests. One of them was Calvin. And one of them was, who was the other guy? You remember what his name was?
Luther.
Martin Luther and John Calvin. Martin Luther and John Calvin. Well, both of them were lawyers, and both of them were priests, and they came out of the Catholic Church. They wanted to clean up the Catholic Church, and that's what they call the Reformation, to recycle the Catholic Church. And they came out of there, they end up basically starting churches of their own. We have basically the Presbyterian Church from John Calvin, and from Luther we've got the Lutheran Church. Now both of those had state churches just exactly like this church right here. The great harlot in the Dark Ages back all the way from here down to the time that we live in. That harlot has never gone out of existence. She's not. She had her teeth pulled just a little bit in some places in the world. The Catholic Church today would be just as venomous as it ever was if society and what we call the Protestant world and the Baptists that got in power in different places, if she still had the power she had back then, she'd still be doing the same things today. The philosophy hasn't changed. The Catholic Church was pretty much like the Muslim world is today. What do you think about the Muslim world? How much tolerance does the Muslim world have? Let's go back to Mecca over there right now. How much tolerance do they have in Mecca for Christians? Huh? What do you mean? They don't tolerate infidels. Why?
They won't tolerate an infidel.
Why, if you walked into Mecca over there, what would they do to you? They killed you on the spot. Did you know you can't walk into Mecca? You can't go there. That's one place you can't go. If you're a Christian, you can't go to Mecca. Now, if you're a Muslim, you can make a trip over there. That's what we call the holy trip, you know, the pilgrimage. That's the way the Catholic Church was, people. They took that from the Catholic Church. You know where they got that business? Right out of Catholicism. Their non-tolerance was right out of Catholicism. Well, this last world empire, this bride of the Antichrist, this bride of Satan himself, is going to pull the same thing that they pulled in the Dark Ages. What the Muslim world's doing today is exactly what the Catholic Church did 300 years ago, 400 years ago, 500 years ago. And number 18 and verse 7. 18 and verse 7. Brother David, what have we got down there? Yeah, Revelation 18 and verse 7.
In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow, and you will not see sorrow.
All right, now let's go look at some words here. We've got some pretty neat words here. And by what things she glorified herself, and what she practiced, wantonness and lasciviousness, all right, revelry. That word there means to strain at doing something. To strain at getting rich, to strain at getting power, that's what it means. To strain. War. Well, the Catholic Church was in constant war for 1,000 years, wasn't it, with anybody that got in her way. I started to bring I got my last minute phone call there when I was leaving the house a while ago. I was going in there in the radio room to grab my history of the churches of the valleys of Piedmont. Now, it tells the people's names that live there in the valleys of Piedmont, in the Piedmont Mountains up there. These Baptists that live back in there, they had lived there for about 1,000 years or more. Back in there, just doing their own thing, believing in God, preaching the Word of God, minding their own business, living separate from the rest of the world, trying to exist and serve and worship God. One of them flipped out to get some kind of supplies, got in there, they saw that he was wearing different clothes than everybody else, and they followed him back in. The Catholic Church went in there and burned and killed and impaled and tortured all of those people, killed every last one of them. Every last one of them. The Waldenses say that they were descendants of these people. She practiced this terrible lasciviousness, straining, by so much as to give her torment, basso nismon. That's the word. Basso nismon. 18 and verse 7. That means trial by torture. Have you ever heard of the Inquisition?
Yeah.
What did they do in an Inquisition? If you were suspected of being a Baptist, for instance, Anabaptist, all right? If you were a Baptist, you were also considered a witch. You know the witches that they tried? Many of those were Baptists. They were witches. And what did they say? Why was a Baptist a witch? What would you call a Baptist a witch? Minding his own business most of the time. You have to remember that the Catholic Church had brought on the Dark Ages. People were ignorant. They were illiterate. They could not read and write. Well, Baptists were always reading and writing the scriptures, weren't they? Many of them were doctors, what they called doctors of letters. And if you could read something out of a book, they thought that was mysterious, and it had to be some type of witchcraft. The mass of humanity couldn't read or write. Well, so many of them here in America. The Salem witch trials. You hear about that? This is over here in America now. We're over here on this continent from over there. Did you ever study in school? Did you ever see what a Duncan chair was? Haven't you ever seen a Duncan chair? But John, you know what a Duncan chair is? Huh? Yeah, a Duncan chair. You're in a river. Here's a river right here flowing down a river. Okay. And these Baptists, we've always been Baptists. We always dip people for baptism. Not only do we dip people, but if they've been sprinkled by poured or whatever by somebody else, we don't accept that. So we dip them again. We really baptize them. We make sure they're baptized. And here was a pedestal out here, and a long thing here with a chair on it, and they tied the dude in the chair. All right? And you had these people over here, and they take this Baptist, this witch out here, that this is the Inquisition now, in America. Okay? They take him and they dip him out here. They dunk him under the water. They ask him, are you going to repent? Are you going to denounce your religion? He'll say no or don't say anything, one or the other. So they dip him down in the water again. Leave him under there for a while. Let him come up a little bit. Are you going to denounce your evilness and that religion, that terrible religion that you have, you fighter of God? They say no. They finally just kept on dipping them until they drowned them. And if they drown them, so that's what the Anabaptists, that's what they need. They want to dip people, we'll dip them. So then bubbles don't come up. Mother Drex. Yeah. But either way, they were gone.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Either way, they were gone. They did. They hooked up chains on them, tied them to an anchor, and threw them over. If they floated, why? There had to be a witch. If they went on down, well, they was innocent, but the Lord knows his. They said in different places when they went in to kill the Baptist, they said, kill them all. The Lord knows his own. Like that. Here we are. She glorified herself. She practiced so much. And this word torment here is trial by torture. Basol nismon. Trial by torture. Physical and mental torture. Like the Inquisition. Now, the Lord says, I want to torture her. It's time for her to... A little bit of lex talionis, all right? A little bit of payback. And then sorrow, penthos. What does the word penthos sound like? Penitence. Yeah, you're going to do penance, all right. The Catholics, you know, when they're going through some kind of a trial or whether they'll do penance on Ash Wednesday and whatever, you know, they do penance. They'll give up something, they'll do something. Penance. That's what the world. Sorrow. sorrow. What it means, sorrow. Because in the heart of her, she says, I sit as a queen, a Basilisa, a queen. I sit as a queen, and a widow know not I am, and sorrow know not I may see. Well, she was in power for a long time, hadn't she been? She's sitting back even today, this false religious system, and just waiting for her time to come back to power. Because she thinks she'll be back in power. And guess how she gets back in power again? Satan gets behind her. There is a ecumenical movement in the world that we see previews of coming right now in the Western world. It's going to culminate right here. Brother X. I should have asked you a minute ago.
I forgot what I was going to ask. Oh, what religion was the Puritans?
The Puritans were, if I remember right, a form of the Church of England that wanted to reform the Church of England. And they came over here in this country and they thought they would get a clean slate. Now, they believed in religious liberty for Puritans only.
Yeah.
Just for them. There were every state in America to begin with had a state church. Every citizen paid a tax, a tithe, to support the preacher, the certified preacher. All right, that's all. In America, if you lived in Maryland, you were a Catholic. If you lived in this state, you were so on and so forth. Whatever state was, that's the state religion you had to support. All right? Number eight. Linda, are you over there? Do you want to read that for me?
Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God.
All right. She shall be burned with fire, for the Lord God is judges her. Do you know that back in the valleys of the Piedmont, they ran those Christians in the caves there and built great fires in front of them and burned them alive in those caves? And some of those soldiers, actually, especially the women and the children, they roasted and ate them. They cannibals. Well, now, she had part in all that for a long, long time. Have you heard of Shivington? John Shivington. You ever know who John Shivington was? He was a Methodist preacher here in America. Now, they knew all about the Inquisition and the Methodists. What is the Church of England? Where did the Church of England come from? Henry VIII. You're right. Church of England came from Henry VIII. It came out of the Catholic Church. And the Church of England was basically non-tolerant. Okay? Non-tolerant. There was some little periods of times in there where they tolerated Baptists a little bit. Pilgrim's Progress. Remember Pilgrim's Progress? John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. That's the most printed book in the world beside the Bible. He wrote that book while he was in prison in England. He was in prison for preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. We have Henry VIII, we have the Church of England, and then the Methodists came out of the Church of England. When the Methodists came over here to America, the missionaries, that John and Charles Wesley that came over here, they didn't even know the Lord. They came over here as missionaries, going to missionize people over here, and they didn't even know the Lord. They got saved when they went back to England. All they were going was through rigmarole. That was their religion, was an outward religion. That was all. Just the method of studying the Bible. There was no personal experience, no experience of grace whatsoever. As far as history is concerned, we have two great reformers, John Calvin and Martin Luther. Martin Luther did give an experience of grace to some extent. He didn't have any tolerance for anybody else that wasn't a Lutheran. He came out of the Church of England, so he
basically treated everybody like the Church of England. He is the one that called for the Holocaust originally, to incarcerate all the Jewish people. Incarcerate them all. And work them until they were dead. That's what he called for, Martin Luther. But at least he said he had an experience of grace. John Calvin now, on the other hand, I can't find that he ever had an experience of grace whatsoever. One of my students just bought a set of books for me, Calvin's Commentaries, his 500th edition. Well, Troy back in Alabama and Mississippi back there, I got a big box of books out there in my front yard the other day and I carried in the house. And says, where'd this come from? I opened it up and it was Calvin's Commentaries, 22 volumes of it. And I never had those before in my life. So now I can find out what Calvin said for himself instead of saying what somebody else said Calvin said. Right, got the whole shooting match right there. I went to 1 John 2:2 and I found out, you know, I've been quoting for years that Calvin, his comment on 1 John 2:2, that he believed that everyone had a chance to salvation, but that's not what the book says. That's not what his stuff says. Somebody might have quoted him saying that, but I read his book. He didn't say that. He just said that he believed in limited atonement. The salvation was not extended to anybody that was not the elect. That's what 1 John 2:2 says, himself. All right? All of these people, now over here they came to America, and then John Shivington was a Methodist preacher. They hired him to go out there and take care of the Cheyenne and the Sioux problem in Montana and up and through that area and Colorado. He went in every bar. He did just exactly like the Inquisition did in Europe. He went into all the bars up there and all of the den of thieves, and he got his soldiers from there. John Chivington says, out here, you come with me, and he's all the women you rape, that's all right, don't matter. They were going after Indians, okay? Don't matter what you do out there, because it's an act of war. All you steal, everything you get out there is part of your wages. That's what the Catholic Church did. Whatever they stole from these people, the clothing was valuable at one time. You know, even shoes. They'd take and strip all the dead. John Chivington went in there, he gathers up all of his thieves and thugs, and he goes out there and just massacres villages of people, just massacres them. They tried to court-martial him, but they couldn't do it. All he did was do the same kind of acquisition that the Catholic Church did, and he did it here in America against the Native American people. All right. Custer did the same thing. They got Custer had his Lex Talionis. He even had him a Sioux wife with Sioux children. There's kids among the Sioux Nation called Custer today that have his name. They told him before he was going to go in there, when he was going to go in and attack those villages up there on the Greasy Grass, the Little Bighorn, they said, don't do it. You're coming, you're going to attack your family, we're going to kill you this time. You better listen, we're going to kill you this time. Well, when he went in there to attack them, a little boy named White Bull shot him before he ever got... If you see Custer's last stand, he never made it. That didn't happen. That may be history, but it never happened. Custer never made it to his last stand. When he started to attack that village, and he rode across that creek, a little boy by the name White Bull shot him off his horse and killed him. And his soldiers threw him back on the horse and took off up to Custer's last stand. And they made Custer's last stand. Custer didn't make it. And the women, when they got through with him, his in-laws, his sister-in-laws, went up there and they took their awls and they cleaned his ears out with them so he could hear better in the second life. Lex Talionis. It's her turn now. It's her turn. Her turn. 18 and verse 9 now. 18 and verse 9. Are you over there, Brother David?
The kings of the earth.
18 and 9? Okay.
The kings of the earth who committed fornication and live luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see smoke of her burning.
All right. Now, who is this woman? The church and the state have become one. Again, Nobody can get married. Nobody can get buried. Nobody can have commerce. You can't get a job. You go to Utah today, and I'm going to tell you something. You can't buy a house with water rights if you're going to put a church in it. Do you know that? Brother Ken, he was here last Sunday morning, you know, and he talked to us last Sunday morning here. I tell you what, they have a hard time. Anything but a Mormon over there, and you can't hardly build a building. Not only that, if they know who you are, you can't hardly get a job. Now, during this period of time right here, you can't get a job. Every bit of wealth in this world is going to be tied up in this one world religious system. The state and the church are going to be one. All of the commerce, all of the wealth in the world is going to be tied up in one bag. All right? In one bag. The kings of the earth who fornicated with her, having saturated themselves lasciviously, they'll see the smoke of her burning. 10 and verse, or 18 and verse 10, Brother John.
Standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the great city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come."
All right. Woe, woe. Ooh-ah, ooh-ah. That is a Greek word. Ooh-ah! Ooh-ah! I remember one time Brother Hubbard was teaching demonology, and he said, "The cry of a demon is ooh-ah!" And he quoted a place in the New Testament where the cry of the demon was ooh-ah. It means woe, calamity, destruction. Double here for emphasis. Destruction. You remember what Samson's name mean? I know a lot of people say that his name, Samson. What in the world is that thing? Samson. I'm going to see if you... Samson. You know what, Samson? A lot of the books say that his name means like the sun. But Josephus tells it comes from this word. Shaddah. Shaddah. El Shaddai. El Shaddai means what? What does El Shaddai mean? El Shaddai. The all-powerful God. The God of destruction. Shaddai means destruction. When God called Samson, He called him for what? Destruction. And Jehovah, this power, the Ruah, the Spirit of Jehovah was upon him, and he brought destruction to the Philistines. Destruction. Calamity. All right? Whoa, whoa. We got another Samson now coming on the scene. Whoa, whoa. The city of the great, Babylon. The city strong. Because in one marked off short period of time, it's the word horah, our word arah, hour comes right out of that word, horah. It has come in the judgment of you. All right? Her judgment. 18 and verse 11. Kathy, are you over there? 18 and verse 11.
And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargo anymore.
All right. Look at this now. The merchants of the earth. The word merchant there is the emporium. That word is emporium. See that Greek word, emporoi. All right? Empori. We get our emporium out of that. The vendors. All right? The vendors of the earth. They repeatedly weep. And they repeatedly sorrow over her because their goods, their cargo, no one he buys any longer. How much in the last year, how many luxury items have been on sale in America? Just think about that for a while. Here we're in what we call a depression, okay? Do you see very many luxury items for sale now in the stores? You go into the stores and half the shelves are empty, aren't they? Now, this is what we call a economic problem. We're in a period of economic problems right now in America. How many people have gone broke, lost all of their savings, lost all of their retirement? They don't have any money to buy luxuries. They barely have enough money to put the basic beans and potatoes on the table. That's basically it. That's the way it is. That's what it is. And so they're not selling too many Cadillacs, not selling too many Rolls Royces, not selling too many Mercedes-Benz or BMWs. People are not even buying new cars. They're buying used cars. They covered themselves, didn't they? But I'm going to tell you something. Oh, they covered themselves in all these bailouts. Guess who the bailouts went to? The CEOs. They should have taken every one of them to the guillotine or to the hanging noose because they're the ones that caused it. They're the one that's lined up with this old gal. The CEOs are lined up with this old gal right here. The whole earth. Now we're going to have economic collapse. Total economic collapse. I don't mean partial. I mean total depression, total economic collapse. People out there will have a car lot of cars in America today. You know, over in Europe and different parts in Europe and in Japan, you know that when you get 30,000 miles on a car in some countries, you have to turn it in. They won't let you drive it anymore. Did you know that? They make you buy a new car. Or else walk. For years, you could buy these engines out of these cars. John, you know what I'm talking about? You heard of that? Over in Japan and everything, you could buy an engine. Yeah, they would take those cars and junk them. Pull the engines, transmissions out of them, sell them to America. And different places in the world. You could buy these pullouts. All right? They're starting to do that here to build up the new car industry. You won't be able to buy used. They're thinking about just shutting off all used cars. Can't buy used cars. You have to buy a new car. Propping up the economy. Buy, sell, and trade commercially. Total and total absolute control. Total absolute control. But this now, pearls won't be worth anything. Gold won't be worth anything. Silver won't be worth anything. Can you eat silver? Gonna do you any? How about pearls? If you boil up a pearl real good, can you swallow the thing and get any nourishment out of it? Here, I heard about this. They would have these pastries and chocolate and everything else, and they'd take 24 karat gold and put a thin plating on different cakes, and it'd actually be gold plating, and you could eat the gold. The gold plating, you could eat it. You know, they put these pieces of cake and they would have designs in this real thin gold and you could eat the gold. Alright? Well, the gold here, that might have happened when everybody was rolling in dough, but that's coming to a screeching halt right here. 12. Let's look and see what number 12 says, Brother X. What in the world does 12 say? All right. Here's all the stuff. We got gold. We got cargoes of gold and silver. Precious stones, that means diamonds, rubies. All right. All types of precious stones and pearls, margarita. All right, margaritone there. Pearls and fine, expensive linen and purple dyed cloth and silk and scarlet. And every evergreen wood, you know, like cedar chests and things like that, these are always been articles of luxury. Remember, a long time ago, all girls wanted to have a cedar chest, a hope chest, where they'd have and keep their stuff in, and it was made out of cedar usually, and it kept the bugs out of it and whatever, you know, because it had the smell. That's what it's talking about here. That's the kind of wood it's made out of, all right? And ivory! And every vessel, every container
out of valuable wood and bronze and iron and marble. Number 13 now. What's it say there, 13, Kathy?
And cinnamon, spice, and incense, and perfume, and frankincense, and wine, and olive oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and cattle, and sheep, and cargoes of horses, and chariots, and slaves, and human lives.
All right. Boy, this is rough times right here. We haven't got there yet, people. You want to know how bad it's going to get? We haven't got there. All right. History tells us some things. How about cinnamon? Cinnamon's what? Something tastes good, doesn't it? Cinnamon bread, cinnamon toast. Every now and then, I always used to get up there, and for a treat, I'd give Dakota cinnamon bread and Marilyn cinnamon bread with their breakfast. And my boys, when they were growing up, they got cinnamon toast. And I remember my grandmother cooking me cinnamon bread a long time ago. Put some bread, put some butter on it, put some cinnamon on it, and sugar on the thing, and heat it up, and put a little glaze on it, and there you got cinnamon bread. Well, cinnamon's not going to be sellable. That's a luxury. All kinds of fancy spices, and incenses, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil. This is fancy oil now. Lard. That's what you'll get, if you get anything at all. I remember a long time ago, we were poor. Sometimes some of my family ate lard sandwich. Anybody ever had a lard sandwich? It'll keep you alive. Yeah. Lard sandwiches. Use that instead of butter, and instead of mayonnaise or whatever, you just put lard on there. Lard. Just a slice of lard. Because lard's cheap. Lard will keep you going. They did find out just recently, I throw this one in here for you. You know, tomatoes and stuff is supposed to be good for you. They are. Yeah, tomatoes and things like that are supposed to be good for you. Did you know that your body cannot get anything out of tomato unless it's got some olive oil or some type of fat in there to make your body absorb it? These old Greeks and Germans and stuff like that, that put olive oil on their tomatoes and stuff in Mediterranean salads, that really worked. They wondered why it worked. It helps you digest your food. Frankincense and wine and oil and fine meal. Semidelin. And wheat. Fine wheat. And beasts of burden. And sheep. During the first depression that we had in the 20s and in the 30s, people that had horses took horses out in the desert or to shoot them away because they couldn't afford to feed them. Horses just were worth nothing. Absolutely worth nothing. People couldn't afford to feed them. Marilyn.
My dad's family lived in Los Angeles, and during that depression, they were selling horses 50 cents a piece.
50 cents a piece. Good looking horses.
Plow horses.
Yeah, good looking horses. Good horses. Worth nothing. Worth nothing. Sheep and horses and carriages and bodies and souls of mankind. You know, there was a period of time in history when Jews were sold so cheap for slaves that Jews, when somebody bought a Jewish slave, you didn't feed them. That's just what Luther called for also. You just took them and you put them in a slave camp and you had them building whatever out there, and you just bought these slaves and you worked them, give them a little water maybe. Don't feed them any food until they fell over dead. Then go buy you another one. Didn't feed them. That sounds pretty cruel, doesn't it?
That's what Nazi Germany
did in the slave camps. That's what happened here in the missions. In California, that happened. That happened all over the world, people. It wasn't, America is not totally obscure from this situation. It happened all over. They worked people until they died. They didn't feed them. They worked them until they died. You go out there and work. If you die out there on a job, they just throw you in the ditch. Go buy another slave. The slaves are so cheap that you could afford to just buy a new one instead of feeding the one you had. Just work them until they die and buy you another one. Just go out there and like buy a car until the ashtray's full. Remember that old story? Buy a car and fill it up, and when it runs out of gas, just buy another one. Commodities are worth nothing. 14, Brother John.
And the fruit you long for has gone from you, and all things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you, and men will no longer find them.
All right. These big ruling elite now, the big shots, the CEOs. Remember what happened in Wall Street during the 29 and 30? What happened to the Wall Street people? A lot of them committed suicide because they didn't want to live poor. They did not want to live poorly. How many of you ever watched that movie about that racehorse? What was the name of that racehorse to go to that one, the little horse? What's not? Come on, I can't remember his name. Seabiscuit. How many of you seen that movie about Seabiscuit? Remember that red, what was his name, the jockey? What was his name? Dakota Red, something or other. His family were well-to-do in the Depression, before the Depression. And basically, they just shooed him off and just said, go on. And he rode racehorses and stuff. They just basically said, don't come home. Go away. Did you know that? There were people that just gave their children away. There were people back in that period of time that took their children to orphanages and just left them on the doorstep. They couldn't afford to keep them. They couldn't afford to feed them. And it says here that nothing that they had before, their whole lives have been changed. And these are all the merchants of the earth. Brother David, 18 and verse 15, are you around there?
Merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing.
All right. They're going to be in fear of her torment. Look at that word torment. That's the word torture by trial. She's being tortured. Because she tortured many others. 18 and verse 16, Brother John.
Saying, woe, woe, the great city, she who was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls.
All right. Boy, woe, woe to the city, the great, the one having been clothed around in fine linen and purple and scarlet, and having been gilded, gold-plated. That's what it says, having been gold-plated. We talked about gold-plated desserts a while ago, remember? Gold-plated desserts. Gilded with gold and with precious stones, valuable, and pearls. Because in 1 hour, she was made desolate. She was made a desert, a wilderness. Such great wealth, and every captain of a ship, and every captain of the ship, and everyone upon sailing vessels, the sailors, as many as make their living from the sea, from afar off they stood. Kathy, could you read that for me in English?
For in 1 hour, such great wealth has been laid waste, and every shipmaster, and every passenger and sailor,
all right, Brother John.
And were crying out as they saw the smoke that were burning, saying, what city is like the great city?
19. Linda. All right. They kept on crying out. They kept on crying out and weeping and sorrowing and saying, woe and woe, the city the great, which made them rich. And having ships in the sea, you know what? There are people that had fleets of ships that are broke today, even at this time. Fleets of ships that are broke.
There are out there where I live, you know, they won't let us subdivide their land, but they let us people subdivide right up to me. Right there, I mean, within a rock's throw of me. They built million-dollar houses on those places, million-dollar homes. I talked to one the other day. He had a whole fleet of trucks. He's down to two trucks now and barely running the two trucks. He paid over $500,000 just to have his house built. He's just barely getting by, just barely making it. How many people have lost everything they had? This is going to be a total economic meltdown here. It's not going to be like we see today. We got previews of coming attractions right now, but it's even worse. 18 and verse 20. Kathy.
Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints, and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her.
All right. Now rejoice, because God has brought Lex Talionis. He has brought Alpodidomi. He's paying her back for what she's done. One of these days, she's going to feel the ravages of what she's done to the rest of the world. And verse number 21 there, Brother X.
Then a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, so will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found.
All right. He said that this strong angel, he lifted up a stone, a lithon, a millstone, a heavy stone, and he cast it into the sea, saying, in this same manner, in this same violent, quick motion, she shall be thrown down, cast down, and trampled down, Babylon the Great. And know not, she shall be found any longer. That's the end of her. All right, that's the end of her. Verse number 22, Brother David.
Sound the part of musicians, flutists, and trumpeters. Shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore. And the sound of the millstone shall not be heard in you anymore.
You know what that means? All work's going to stop. That's a dead city. All work is going to stop. What do you think about that, Brother John?
Paybacks.
Paybacks. 23, Brother John.
And the light of a lamp will not shine in you any longer. And the voice of the bridegroom and bride will not be heard in you any longer. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, because all of the nations were deceived by your sorcery.
All right. And the light of a lamp no longer will be shining. There aren't going to be any more Las Vegases. No more Las Vegases. No more, what's that city, Atlantic cities. No more New York cities. It's the world. These cities are going to be dead, people. They're going to be dead. They won't have any electricity in them. The whole world is going to be at an economic meltdown. All right? This is what the world's got to look forward to. Just think about yourself for a minute. Now, are you saved? Do you know the Lord? If you know the Lord, you get to go up. You get to go up.
This is the end of the age of grace.
That's right. That's the end. There is no more grace. No more grace. All judgment now. No more grace. All judgment. Shaddai. Judgment. Torture. Devastation. And the light of a lamp no longer be heard, nor the voice of a bridegroom. There's not going to be any more fancy big weddings. No more parties. All we're going to have now is devastation. Nothing but devastation. Number 24, Brother David.
And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints, and of all who were slain on the earth.
All right. Among her, in her were found the blood of the prophets and all the holy ones upon the earth that had been slain. She had devastated all of these people. This is what she had done. Now, here it comes back. Now, 19 and verse 1. Let's start off. We've got to end up with a little bit better tone here. Kathy, I'm going to let this young lady read this verse here. 19 and verse 1.
After these things I heard, as it were, a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God.
All right, let's look at that now. Isn't that beautiful?
It says, Meditate, after these things I heard, as a voice great, from a great crowd much, into heaven, saying, Hallelujah. All right, Hallelujah. What in the world does that word Hallelujah mean? Hallel. All right. It means to shine. It means to polish. It means to cause to shine. And it means to make the name of Jehovah shine, is what it means. Make the Lord's name shine and make His name ring. Now, down upon the earth before this time, we have the bride of the Antichrist devastated, and she has basically been divorced, thrown away, cast away, and devastated. In the Bible, a widow was a helpless person. If a woman didn't have children support her in her old age, she was going to starve to death. That's the way it was. They didn't have any Social Security or anything like we've got today in the nation of Israel. And when Jesus came along, even the farmers were not going according to the rules. They weren't leaving the corners of the fields and things. They were reaping everything, taking everything out of the fields because the woman could have gone out there and got plenty to eat. The Jews were even griping when the Lord's men, when His disciples, His early church members, when they walked through a wheat field and picked up the top of the wheat and rubbed those pieces of wheat together and got the wheat out of it and ate it. And they were griping about that, weren't they? You know what? It says that according to the law of Moses, they could do those things. But now, as the old devil has devastated his bride, now we get to see the other side of the coin. We get to see what the Lord is doing with His bride. The devil destroys and kills his wife because she means nothing to him. And the Lord is preciously polishing and glorifying His bride. Which part of that, which part do you want to play? That's a pretty easy choice. That's a pretty easy choice. Which part do you want to play? Which side do you want to be on? All right, we'll start at 19 and verse 2 next week.